dear. Oh dear, oh dear. Can you hear me? I switched it on, Ryan. Can you hear me? No? I don't know. It's on. It's green. No, it's not. I think it's green. Can you hear me? I'll just shout. Don't even know why they give me this thing. It's on, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely on.
Luke says it's on, so it's on. Right, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm Leah Chilengwe, and I am married to Nelson. We look after life groups. I think I was told to say that. And we've got Nelson's sister here this morning, and a wonderful husband. Don't worry, you won't miss her. Just put some hair on Nelson, and then look at her face, and you know her. Where we come from. Where... It's true. You know what I mean. But you see where I come from. That's my sister and my brother. Go figure. Just go with it. So what kind of man is this? Mark painted a very solid, profound picture and a pathway and a signposting to where this series is going last week. And today, I'm just going to delve deeper into one aspect of who Jesus is. They say nothing made itself into something. Yeah? We're going. Right, buckle up. They say nothing is made itself into something. There is no external force behind nothing so that it became something. I know, a bit confusing, isn't it? They teach this in college. Nothing, a lot of things don't blow my mind, but this does. The fact that people believe that nothing without any external force can turn itself into something. I just think it's common sense that if there is a painting, then perhaps behind it there should be a painter. If there's a sculpture, then perhaps there should be a sculptor. And it goes without saying that perhaps if there's creation, behind it there should be a creator. Jesus, the creator, is my task this morning. And from 2 Corinthians 5 and 16... it says this: therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now, we know him thus no longer. Yet now, we know him thus no longer. My task is to present to you Jesus, the Creator. Most of us have a limited view. This is no criticism. It's just the world that we live in. We've got a limited view of Jesus. We only see Jesus as the veiled Jesus. What do I mean by that? We see Jesus only on the aspect of him being in the flesh, because that's the dimension that is shown of us. The issue before us this morning, though, is that we must discover Jesus without the physical body. We must simply behold Jesus unveiled if we are going to get hold of the concept of Jesus Christ being our creator. We need to get rid of the obscurities of who Jesus is. But the challenge that we face is that most artwork, most pictures, everything that depicts Jesus Christ today depicts him in a physical body. We see him in the baby in the manger, amazing picture, because it reminds us that he came into the world to save us and to reconcile us to our Father. We see him as a 12-year-old debater in the synagogues, talking to those religious leaders. We see him walking the seashores of Galilee, the bearded, sandaled Jesus. We see them nearly drowning and him saving. He heals the sick. He causes the blind man to see. He stretches out the withered hand from that man. We also see him offering the symbol of the cup and the bread. We see him crucified, nailed to the cross for us. This is the physical Jesus. This is the Jesus that mostly is depicted of us. But he's the same Jesus that's ascended on high. Therefore, from now on, we don't regard that Jesus according to the flesh, though we've known him in the flesh, yet we know him thus no longer. So going forward, how do we know him? How do we know this Jesus? Today we want to pull back the veil and see this Jesus, who we are saying this morning is the creator of the heavens and the earth. We're going to be looking at Paul's letter to the church in Colossians. The apostle Paul is under house arrest. He receives news about the church in Colossae. He's informed about their love of Jesus Christ and all the love of all the saints. But then he also hears about the error in their teaching. They teach the errors about the person of Jesus Christ in error. The church, however, claims that Jesus is just one of other angelic beings. It's just one of those angelic beings. Another emanation of God is what they're saying. By the statement, they are in essence rejecting the duality of Jesus' deity and both his deity and his humanity. This wrong doctrine opened up confusion within the church. It opened up confusion within the church, the gospel, and the Christian life. This false teaching was not even presented to rival Christ. What was worse, it was brought alongside that of Christ. It's suggesting, actually, the lack of supremacy and Christ's sufficiency. It is with this backdrop that the Apostle Paul writes this letter to the church in Colossae to highlight not only Jesus' supremacy, but actually his sufficiency. So we're going to jump into Colossians 1, verse 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that everything in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Father, would you just arrest me? Would you just speak your word as you taught it to me in the way that you want me to? And would it bless your people in Jesus' name? Some of us have to pray, because we can run away with our mouths. So Paul, in this text, presents to us the essential truth of our historical Christian faith. He presents the declaration of the truth by not refuting this error. You see, some of us would have looked at this and said, you are so wrong, Jesus is supreme. But he starts it by giving, actually, the declaration of who Jesus is. He puts the truth of who Jesus Christ is before he refutes the error. This scripture gives us the evidential statement of who Jesus Christ is. Paul gives us here two big reasons why we can live and minister with unwavering confidence about Jesus Christ being supreme. Number one is this, is that Jesus Christ is supreme over all creation. In verse 15, and I'm reading from the Amplified Version, it says this, he is the exact living image, the essential manifestation of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible, the firstborn, the preeminent one, the sovereign, the originator of all creation. Paul here affirms two things. He affirms that God is invisible, and he further affirms that Jesus Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He is the exact living image, is what the scripture says. The essential manifestation of the unseen God. The visible representation of that invisible God that we pray for. So remember Philip in the upper room. I think it's in John 4. Look it up. Philip says to Jesus, show us the Father so that we'd be satisfied. Philip is walking with Jesus. He says, show us the Father so that we'd be satisfied. And then Jesus says to Philip, Philip, don't you know who I am? We've been walking together. In other words, in the way I interpret it, in the world of Leah, I feel like Jesus is saying to Philip, Philip, you're asking a rudimentary question on graduation day. We've been walking together for so long, and you still don't know who I am. When you see me, you see the Father, is what Jesus says. Jesus Christ is supreme over all creation. And the other point that I see Paul saying to us here is that Jesus is the creator of the world. In Colossians 1 and verse 16, it says this, for by him, all things were created in heaven and on earth, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created and exist through him. The Lord is over all creation. Everything that exists does so because God created it. Each individual part of creation, every detail, from the subatomic things to all the magnificent things that we see. There are 100 billions. I read this. I don't know this. I just read it. I Googled it. 100 billion stars in the average galaxy. And there are at least 100 million galaxies. Jeff is going to do the mathematics for us. Blows your mind. Jesus made them. According to Paul, Jesus is the source of creation because by him all things were created. He created the world and he sustains it. As Christians, we may be forgiven in getting used to viewing Jesus through one lens, as I talked about earlier, fully man walking the streets of Bethlehem, a man who we understand and appreciate and realize the sacrifices on the cross and his consequent resurrection. As I said, we're used to the bearded, sandaled Jesus. We may be forgiven in missing the fact that the same man was there at the beginning of time. In the beginning was the Word. In John 1:1, it says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This Word is Jesus. We also see in Genesis 1 and verse 26, it says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. When God says, let us make man in our image, was it not Jesus that the God the Father was speaking to? If we accept the scriptures that we've just read, John 1, Colossians 1, Genesis 1 and verse 26, Genesis 1:1, then we can just believe that Jesus was. He was at the beginning. And therefore, can I suggest that before Jesus was ever in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was in the Garden of Eden, the creator of all things, heaven and earth. Because it was at the beginning of time that Jesus flung the stars into space, he scooped up the deep oceans, he stacked up the mountains, he made you and me. If you check very closely in the fine print, you will find made by Jesus. If I just take a pause, Leah, I don't know if Leah is here. I may be a bit, prejudicial because, you know, we share the same name and Leah's fabulous. But she's got this, if you haven't followed her already on Instagram, she's got this social media handle that says, it's made by Leah. And what I really love about them, what the favorite things I do is when she creates nothing, something out of nothing. And she does these videos where she's really scribbling, you know, going, she kind of speeds them up. And then you kind of see from nothing, a blank slate, suddenly there's this wonderful picture. That's just Leah in just one little lane. But this Jesus Christ that we have, from nothing, he creates everything. Those 100 million galaxies that Jeff is going to give us the numbers for at the end of this. You see, from the microscope, the subatomic stuff that we see, even through to the telescope, those massive things that we see, Jesus Christ, he made all of them. He didn't only, and then when you read closely with the scripture, not only did he create the physical world, he created the invisible world. At least when I'm talking about binding the devil, I don't really connect the fact that that same Jesus who walked the seas of Galilee was the guy who actually created those demons. Not only the physical world, but the spiritual one as well. The angels, the principalities, the powers in the heavenly realm. He created the spiritual beings in the unseen world around us. So no need to split hairs. If it's there, Jesus, he made them. Everything that exists owes its existence to Jesus. We insist that there is, he in this scripture, Paul insists that there is nothing that was made apart from Jesus. Jesus Christ is supreme over all creation. Jesus Christ is also the creator of the world. And when you read the scripture and you put all of these together, there's three themes that come out that I want to pull out that we can take away. That Jesus Christ is supreme, Jesus Christ is the creator, but also Jesus is the agent of creation. In John 1 and 3, it says this. It says, through him all things were made, and apart from him nothing was made that has been. How clear can scripture be? Once again, John affirms that Jesus was in existence before time began, before creation came into being. We owe our existence to Jesus Christ. So not only is he the agent of creation, he's also the goal and the source of creation. Because in creation, all things were made for him, his purpose, his pleasure, and his praise. So when we praise Jesus, it's just up there where the aroma that Pastor Steve was talking about, it is that Jesus Christ created us for. He's the source, he's the goal of creation, he's the agent of creation. Not only does he do that, though, he also sustains that creation, because the scripture says, in him, all things hold together. It is why the universe is a cosmos, not a chaos. If I made it, something else. Jesus designed the earth close enough to the sun so that we do not freeze, but far enough so that we do not burn. He also made the sun to rise like clockwork from the east and set in the west. And the winters, the seasons, winter, summer, spring, they regulate their course in time. Flowers blooming, fading, falling. Jesus holding all things together. As a side note, we were praying for each other earlier. The things that we might be going on through our lives, and it feels like, gosh, this is just so heavy for me. I don't know how I can carry. We were never designed to carry the burdens that we carry, because Jesus sustains all things. What is true about the universe is true about us at a microscopic level. Jesus is sustaining everything that we are going through. Our hopes, Jesus sustains and he holds all these things together. Our dreams, Jesus sustains and holds things all together. Our challenges, all those things that when we cannot even speak to anybody else, remember, he is holding all things together, even though you feel like you're falling apart. Jesus is supreme over all creation, and he is holding all things together. The great creator, he became our savior. On the cross, he was nailed to that cross for me and for you. And what God wants us to know this morning is that, yes, the world, and I suppose it's really difficult to depict an invisible Jesus to a visible world, but God wants us to make that visible within our spirits, that same Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee, the same Jesus that sits on high today, is the same Jesus that's regulating everything that we are going through, no matter how big that challenges may appear to us. We were never built to carry the cross with a small c in our lives on our own. Jesus, he founded the earth upon the seas, and he established it upon the floods. Jesus, he made the moon, the heavens, and the earth, and all that is in it. Jesus made it. I just really, when I was preparing for this, I felt like God was saying to me, leave some time for room. And James, I'm sorry I didn't say this, I was a little bit. He wanted us to just spend some time, to just carve out some time from what I was going to say, so that we can begin to worship Jesus from this perspective. And I'm not saying that you are like me. When I worship Jesus, yes, I know he's invisible, but with the words that God has actually been speaking to me this week, he wants us to carve out some time to begin to worship, if we just get the worship team on, so that we begin to worship God in spirit and in truth with a different perspective, as Jesus, who's the creator of the universe, Jesus, who was there before the foundations of the earth, Jesus, who was in the Garden of Eden before he was ever in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's the creator of the world. He's supreme over our lives, over every creation and over our lives, and he is sufficient for everything that we need. He founded the earth upon the seas, and he established it upon the floods. Jesus, he made the moon, the heavens, and the earth, and all that is in it. Jesus, he keeps the truth in his hand. In his hands are all the deep places of the earth. In his hands are all the deep places in our hearts. All the things that we struggle with, Jesus has got them in his hand. Ask the beast. This is what the psalmist says. He says, ask the beast of the field, and they will teach you. The beast of the field will teach you. He says, ask the fowls. Ask the fowls of the air, and they will tell you. Jesus, this creator. He says, speak to the earth, and the earth will teach you about Jesus, your creator. It's the theme here. We're talking to animals. He says, speak to the fishes of the seas, and they will tell you. Talk about the creativity of Jesus Christ. This Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This Jesus Christ who was born as a baby in the manger. This Jesus Christ that walked the seas of Galilee. This Jesus Christ who calmed the seas. This Jesus Christ who spoke and broke the bread and it fed 5,000. This Jesus Christ who carried that cross. This Jesus Christ who died on the cross for me and you. This Jesus Christ was put in the tomb and he rose after 3 days. That Jesus. He created the heavens and the earth. For in his hand is the soul of every living thing. Jesus Christ, the creator of the heaven and the earth. Father God, would you be with us as we worship from a different perspective? Would we see you as your word has just spoken to us, Lord? Would we see you as sitting on high? Would we see you as the voice in the Garden of Eden? Would we see you speaking to these invisible things, creating the physical and the invisible? Father God, would we just worship you in the few moments that we have and see you in a different light as we walk this place, Lord? Would we not leave as we left, Father? Would they be that just that one thing that unravels everything in our lives? And most of all, Lord, for all of us who've got some heavy burden, Lord, Jesus, we know that you sustain us even in the turbulence of times. We saw you calming the storm. We know you can calm our storm. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.